with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We believe, as followers of Jesus, that the Word of God has the power to change life. Both the words we have in our Bible, but the Word as in Jesus has the power to change life. We believe that he does. And he continues to do and has continued to do throughout history. It goes alongside people. It transforms them. And it transforms us as his created people. His created people. We've been journeying along the last few weeks as we have focusing on mission alongside us has been our series. That we can come alongside people with the Word, with Jesus, and share the gospel to them. Coming alongside sharing hope. One of the reasons why we chose Ukraine to support is that you see the church actively coming alongside people in the midst of whatever was going on in that country and sharing the hope. That video today just highlighted it, of just sharing the hope of Jesus in the midst of times of strife. But it's not just in times of strife. It goes in the good times and the bad. People come alongside people with the message and the hope of Jesus. This is our mission. The mission of God is to come alongside and share who Jesus is, what he has done, and how, in fact, he can save and redeem you from ourselves. The mission of God. We have the mission of God, and we, in fact, call to be part of God's mission. One of the ways that God shares his mission is through us. In fact, we seem to be the primary vessel in which God chooses for his mission to go out in this world. He's called us, he's changed us. But often we ask the question, how can the mission of God, how can the gospel be effective? You may be sitting there going, oh, maybe I'm not biblically educated. No, I'm not experienced in mission. I don't even know where to start sometimes. What do you do? Like, just walk up to someone and say, do you know Jesus? Is that how you do it? Maybe you're thinking that I'm just not really good at it. Maybe that's not my calling. And as we look at Jesus, we see that the source of his effective mission, the source of his effective mission was not his knowledge of the scriptures. He learned and understood it, but it was not his knowledge. It was not his upbringing that made him effective in mission. He was the son of a carpenter. God was with him, but he was the son of a carpenter from a small town in Israel. He wasn't a trained priest. He wasn't fully educated in the words of God. It wasn't his upbringing that made him effective. And it wasn't his experience that made him effective in mission. The source of Jesus' effective mission is prayer. Jesus was effective in mission because he communicated with God. And through God, he was effective. Through the words of God that God spoke and revealed to him, he was effective in mission. And we see that in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. And it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else. And nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. See, prayer empowered Jesus' ministry. The source of Jesus' effective ministry was grounded in prayer. This is just one of a few times in the scriptures where we read that Jesus went off and prayed, that Jesus went off and spoke to his Father in heaven, to God, the Father in heaven, asking him. It's not recorded here exactly what Jesus prayed, how long he prayed, the posture in which he prayed. It's just recorded here that he prayed. He sacrificed time in his day in which he could have been serving people, could have been sharing God's message, that he knew it was important, that I needed to go and pray. I needed to go and communicate with God and ask him those things. Where are you moving? What are you doing? Where are we going? Where should I go? And this becomes the source of his effective mission. Pray. Has anyone been on a sailing boat? As part of a script union in our schoolies mission, that every year we got to head to the Whitsundays with a bunch of schoolies, and so for a few nights we got to stay on sailing boats and sail around the Whitsundays Island. It was a hard mission experience. But it was just great to be out amongst the islands in the sailing boat, and it's quite protected amongst those islands. What you did as you reflected there, you go, okay, there was often times when there was enough wind that they could put the sails up, and it was exciting. And when the wind propelled and took the sailing boat, the power that it had, the wind, was incredible. Now, if you're in a sailing boat, and most of the time in the Whitsundays, they've got the engine on, and you're just kind of cruising around the islands. But if they turned off the sailing boat and they were ready and waiting for the wind, you didn't go anywhere. You just kind of sat there and you were just going, where's the wind? You're waiting for the wind. You're almost praying for the wind. You're going, come on, God, bring the wind and propel us forward. God's mission is a little bit like that. God's mission needs some sort of driving force. It needs something to propel us forward. A boat doesn't go anywhere without a driving force, whether it's the engine driving and propelling it forward, or the wind beneath the sails propelling it also forward. If you just left a sailing boat in the water without any driving force, it would just be washed back and forth by the waves. It would be taken by the currents or wherever the water was going, and it would just be taken. It would not end up in the area in which you went to go. If you jumped on the boat and just said, okay, I want to go over there, and you didn't do anything, you didn't put the sails up, you didn't manipulate, get the wind and catch it in the right direction, put the engine on, you'd probably end up over there. And we see that when Jesus was in mission, he was quite intentional in where he went. He didn't often stay in one place at a time, but he had a driving force to propel him forward for his mission. That driving force for Jesus was prayer. Propelled him forward in the mission, allowed him to achieve what God wanted to do through him. And this prayer was his communication. God communicated where he should go. And the same would be for us. Prayer can empower us for mission. When we go out and share the gospel on our front lines or amongst our family and our friends, we can have all the great intentions. We can have all the best people around us. You can get the best group of missionaries, the most effective people, people that are steeped in knowledge, that have the best methods, they have the best understanding, they have everything and every tool that they have. But without prayer, we are not effective in mission. How can we? Without prayer, we're not effective. We need to be communicating with God. Because when you go out and when you share the gospel, most of you have experienced the struggles in that. It's not easy. You can't just walk out the building here and go, would you like to accept Jesus? And everyone goes, yeah, I'd love to. And then they come into the church. Wouldn't that be great? There's struggles in mission. And we need to communicate that struggle with God. We need to communicate that struggle. We need to plead with God for people's salvation. We have opportunity through prayer to ask God to save him. Ask God to save and transform people. Transform their lives. Now, I've got a journal that sits in my office that I often write down prayers and plead with God, especially for salvation as I'm going through. And some of the prayers that I've written down over the last couple of years are incredible. I was going to bring it up here for you, actually, but I forgot to bring it up here. Actually, I don't know where it is. Give me 2 seconds. Can I go up and get the prayer? Because I want to share that. Suspense. You just walk away for a little while. There we are. You're always forgetting something this morning. Got my bones and everything. So on the 12th of the 5th, 2021, I've got a journal entry here where I'm praying and I'm pleading with God for a few different people. And there was people that we were communicating with and praying with, and they were right on the edge of making a decision. They're right on the edge, and this is what I wrote with God. I said, motivate, and then I named the people. Motivate them to see that you are the Son of God. To see that you are the one that removes all sins. And then an entry on the 9th of the 6th, 21, said, I pray for them. Pray for them to make a decision to follow Jesus and to take him seriously. They're not eloquent. They're not amazing words. There's nothing special about those words. But as I was sitting there praying, I'm like, I need to pray this. I need to allow God to do the work for me. And I can say that the two people there that I was praying for have made the decision to follow Jesus, and God answered that prayer. But I was simply a vessel to help with that. Prayer was the driving force. Prayer was the wind beneath the sails in vision. Prayer was the driving force, not me. I was there willing to use whatever God had given me. Not even eloquent words or whatever it is, but just plead with God and let God transform their lives. And God did it. Prayer also opens the doors for mission. As we look at this passage, as Jesus gets up and prays, we see that God shifts his location. He's preaching and sharing the gospel in Capernaum, which is just a city, sort of town, just north of Galilee. And there's plenty of people, there's roaring crowds, But God says it's time to move on. It's time to go out into the smaller towns. It's time to go out and share the gospel amongst other people. And in verse 39, it shows that as God directed, as he prayed, God opened the doors for mission. It says, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons, saving people, redeeming people, sharing the hope and the message that comes from Jesus. Simple lines. He just preached and shared and drove out demons. We drove out a demon this week. But that was the culturally acceptable of what was happening in the day. Spiritually aware Israel was at that time, demonic attacks were quite common. So I don't expect you to look at this and go, okay, so what I've got to do in order to be empowered for mission by prayer is to get up early in the morning. I need to get up. I need to find a solitary place and I need to pray. I need to pray long enough that people miss me and they come and find me. And then when I come and find me, we're going to go to a different town and we're going to preach there in synagogues. I'm trying to find a synagogue in Rockhampton. Preach there in synagogues and then we're going to drive out demons. That's what we're going to do. This isn't in here to copy word for word and to do exactly what Jesus did. We do mission differently. We're in a different country. We're in a different time. We're in a different thing. But prayer is the essential key here. That as Jesus communicated with God through the vessel of prayer, through this form, God instructed him and told him what to do. You see, prayer wasn't a one-way thing with Jesus. It was both ways. He both prayed and then got a sense. However, God spoke to Jesus. He got a sense. He heard a word. He got something that said, we need to move on. Maybe he just felt an unsettledness in his heart. And just went, I don't think we should stay here. I think we should move on. And then maybe there was an opportunity, and so they just started walking. Just started going. We don't know exactly. It's not detailed here by Mark. But it just says he moved on. Prayer opened doors. And the same thing happened. And the same thing happens for us. Prayer opens doors. Prayer opens doors for mission. Prayer opens doors for mission both individually but also as a church. Last couple of years, especially last year, we were praying specifically. It was praying specifically into our mission in Glenmore School through Family Connect and what we do to connect with the families and share the gospel. And I was praying and wrestling with it because we had seen people come to know Jesus. We had seen people come to faith. And we reached a point where we just weren't connecting with any more people. So I'm going, what are you doing here, God? What's happening? How can this happen? And so we prayed, and then God revealed that we should shift the focus from a dinner, from a meal, towards coffee. That this was the shift. This was what was required in order to connect with more people. And this wasn't driven out of a great idea or method seen before. It was driven out of prayer. I record a journal entry I have here on the 11th of the 5th. It says, teach us your ways. Show me your methods. How do you want us to minister? How do you want us to be a gospel presence in the community? Should we shift our focus of Family Connect? Can you show us the fruitful method into the future? Lord, guide us. Guide me as your servant. Protect me. Strengthen us. Help us to become fruitful. And so as a team of us met together, we connected and we went, how do we do this? What's happening? What's God still realizing how we can actually do this and how we can do it effective. But we've seen God there. He's opened the door for mission. When I shared the idea that we were going to shift to coffee with the principal at the school, and he's very open to lots of things, but it surprised me. And I shouldn't be surprised because I prayed about it, but it still caught me by surprise. I shared, yeah, this is what we're going to do. And he was like, yeah, that sounds good. And as we were talking about power and how the coffee machine needs power, it requires a fair bit of amperage, the power of the coffee machine. And some of those things, get an electrician, it costs a decent amount of money where you have to lay a bit of cable. And so when I shared, yeah, we'll need some sort of power source, without hesitation, he said, oh, that's right, we're doing the car park at the same time. And so we should get the electrician just to lay cable and just put a power point there exactly for you. Praise God. Without hesitation, it kind of took me back that he was willing to invest. Now, I don't know how much that costs. I don't know what it is, but he was willing just to set aside the budget for that and just make it possible so that we could come into this world. We could share the gospel in a non-Christian government state. God opens the door for mission. It's through prayer that God shows us where to invest. This is where God is already working, where God is already moving, and it takes us where we need to go. We can go on our own steam. We can start paddling in our own direction. We can just wait and let the waves and the current take us wherever we want to go. But we don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I want to be empowered for mission by God. I want to be praying and allow and set my sails in the right direction, that prayer empowers the direction in which we go. We want to do that as a church, that prayer empowers the direction in which we go. There may be some obstacles, some large and some small, but if we're empowered by God through prayer, He'll take us in that direction. He will provide the driving force. He will be the wind beneath our sails. So it's like a cliche line. Drive us to the direction in which we are to go as we connect with Him and communicate with Him, asking where He's going. In my devotions this week, it highlighted the work of John Wesley. And it said, as a young man, John Wesley served faithfully as an Anglican priest, but he was never certain of his salvation. After spectacularly failing as a missionary in Georgia, he returned to England exhausted and depressed. That was until the 24th of May, 1738, 285 years ago, when he reluctantly attended a Moravian worship and prayer meeting in Aldersgate Street in London, and it was to transform his life. That night, feeling his heart strangely warmed, his rigid religion was replaced by a deep assurance of God's loving presence. That's what God does. You see, that's what happens when we actually connect with God and ask Him. There's something that happens in our lives that helps us to orientate ourselves towards God. That's the wind. Directs us and guides us. This is what happened with John Wesley. This is what has been happening with various believers of Jesus time and time again. But John Wesley could have continued to do what he's doing, continued to fail in mission, burn himself out, and continue to do whatever he would be doing. But he didn't. He heard God. God changed and directed his life. And he went on to transform the lives of many thousands of men and women. The Wesley Methodist Church was built from this. Today it numbers about 70 million people. Genesis 4, verses 2 to 6 said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul continues to say, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so that we may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, but let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. 2 Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Prayer, the source of effective mission, is prayer. It always has been, and it always will be. We just need to realize it and use that as our effective tool for mission. And so as we come alongside people, share the gospel on our front lines, as we become the mission of God, we serve God in that, we need to be founded in prayer. Sometimes it doesn't always go the way you expect it. Sometimes it doesn't always lead the direction in which you think it's going. But if you're founded in prayer, if that is the foundation, then you'll see God work. You'll see God change. So today, in response, we're going to pray. You're going to pray. Not just me. So, some of you, like me, are introverts, and you like praying by yourself. And so I encourage you in the seats to pray by yourself. But some of you will want to pray in groups. So if there's a few of you that want to make little groups, we're going to spend 2 minutes, and we're just going to pray. Connect with God. Ask God where he's working, who he's working. Pray and listen to God. So we're going to do that now. Find a group. Pray by yourself. Do whatever you like. 2 minutes. After reading Luke chapter 2, on the 17th of the 11th, 2021, I pray. Dear Lord, you are the God who redeems and saves. This is part of your desire from the beginning, that you always wanted to know us and bless us. Lord, help us as your people to understand the depths of your salvation. Understand the lengths that you went to maintain your character and redeem us from our sin, our choice to crucify. Lead us back. Lord, please continue to direct and guide our church. Help us make decisions according to your will and plan. Open our eyes to see.